was outstanding. That was exalted my Redeemer, and that was good. I lost track of the fact that I was supposed to get up and preach next until right at the end. And I remembered, oh yeah, now I'm going to preach. That was really good. Brother John, Kathy, thank y'all. Thank you to the whole church. I know it's some work involved, and appreciate your labors and your hospitality and your fellowship and accommodations you provided me. Just thank you. Let's go to Psalm 67. Let's read this psalm together. Psalm 67, verse 1. God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health, Thy salvation among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Now in verse 2, the psalmist asks God that Thy way may be known upon the earth, that Thy way may be known. God's way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. There's no other way but Christ. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. And that's what the psalmist is asking for. Asking for God to send forth His promised Messiah, that mercy might be given and blessing might be given and God's face might shine upon the earth. That all God's elect scattered amongst the nations might be brought to praise Him, to know His way and praise Him. That's how the earth yields her increase. God blesses His people, teaches us the way, and life springs up, and we praise God for it. Amen. We give Him all the glory for it. The church glories in God's way of salvation. We glory in Christ. He gets all the glory in the salvation of sinners like us. And God the Father purposed it to be that way. He said, He shall have all preeminence. The Son shall have all preeminence. And so today I want to show you God's way. Now we're going to get our outline mainly from verse 1. God's way in Christ is the way of mercy. He says, God be merciful unto us. And then secondly, God's way in Christ is the way of blessing. He said, God be merciful unto us and bless us. And thirdly, God's way in Christ is the way of comfort. It's comfort from God accepting His people. From God smiling upon us with His shining face of approval. He says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us with approval. And then God's way in Christ is the way of righteously governing His church throughout our days in this earth. He said in verse 4, Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. So first of all, God's way in Christ is the way of mercy. God, be merciful to us. Do you find that that's your prayer continually? Do you find that you pray to God continually asking for mercy? Mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve. And it's the only way God receives sinners. Mm-hmm. It's only by mercy that He can receive a sinner. Now, do we know how exceedingly sinful we are? I know we know the doctrine of depravity, total ruin and fall of man in Adam, but do we know that about ourselves? Really and truly about ourselves. Not only did we sin in Adam, there's not one commandment that we have not broken all the time, continually.
Yes, sir.
Sin's not just in what we do, it's in our heart. It's our very fabric. It's the very being of what we are by nature.
That's right.
Is sin. God Himself is who we've sinned against. This thing of sin, not just sinning and it not affecting anyone or not being against anyone, all our sin is against God. Go back to Psalm 51. Listen to David. Can we say this with David? Verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest." In everything that we've ever done, the only thing we have ever done is sin against God. I'm talking about you take the very best thing you've ever done. Thing that men will pat you on the back for. Things that mama will praise you for. Things that folks would call you a mighty fine fella. It's sin against God. Because sin's mixed with everything we do. Whenever God speaks this word, He speaks it of me. Every imagination of the thoughts of His heart is only evil continually. That's true of me standing right here where I'm at. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Now you think of somebody who's offended you, somebody who's hurt you deeply. If someone had murdered your child, they've not offended you like you and I have offended God. And yet God's way is to show mercy. "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy." It's the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. I need new mercies every morning because every morning I sin. Well, the very essence of mercy means we cannot merit it. We have no cause in us for God to show us mercy. It's God's glory to give mercy to whom He will. When Moses asked to see His glory, God said, "I'll make my goodness pass before thee. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Paul said, "Then it's not of him that willeth." I can talk about my free will all I want to. My will's bound to this sinful nature. It's not of him that runneth. It's not of man's works. It's God's glory to choose whom he will have mercy on. Turn over to Romans 5. I want you to look at this in light of the fact of what horrible, evil, wicked, vile, wretched sinners that we are. I just think we hear the word sin so much that we don't really consider how bad it is before God. Now look at Romans 5 verse 6. Now here's mercy. When we were yet without strength, we were dead in sins, we had no way of commending ourselves to God. Nothing about us commendable. Without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for those that were unlike God. Everything God hates, that's who he died for. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's way of mercy was to send his son. You know, you take somebody who's committed great offenses against you and just dealt spitefully with you and blasphemed and cursed your name. Would you send your son to die for them? Think about that. Think about that. Sending your child to take their place. And that's what God did. He couldn't overlook our sin. If he's going to have mercy, his justice has got to be honored. Mercy and truth have got to be made to kiss. They've got to be in harmony. No court can do that. No law of this land can do that. Anytime a judge is lenient and shows mercy to somebody, he's not upholding the justice of the law. And if he holds up the justice of the law, he can't show mercy. How can God do both? In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He came forth and it's God in Christ. And he comes forth, and because he went and took the place of his people, and God poured out all the wrath of his offended justice upon his own son, God has honored his law. He is just. The soul that sinneth must die. I'm not going to die for your sin. Somebody else is not going to die for your son. Sin, you're not going to die for your daddy's sin. You're going to die for your sin. And Christ, when he died, Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. I died. My body of sin was taken and it was buried in that tomb over there and put away. And that's how real God sees it. That man died. The only man we talk about that died over 2,000 years ago is Christ. We don't even know really any men that died. That. So why talk about that man of sin? He died. He's dead before God. God's not going to bring him up again to his people. And because he is the justifier, mercy. Mercy. As he justified us, he showed us mercy. He as he satisfied justice, he justified us. Mercy and truth together, right there. We come out of that grave and we sat down at the right hand of God. Mm-hmm. Paul says, your life is hid with Christ in God. Right there, God's right hand. Don't seek these things below. Set your affection on things above. That's where your life is. God's mercy is how we're saved. You know, we get in our flesh and we say things that are unmerciful. We do things that are unmerciful because we get offended. Like we're somebody to get offended. Who am I to get offended at anybody? When I consider how much and how continually I offend God constantly. Why should I get offended about anything? If the worst anybody says about me, they haven't even scratched the surface. Next time we're offended, we ought to look at the person. And before we speak a word, and God help us to do that, before we say a word, we ought to think, I've offended God a million times worse than this person's offended me. And God showed me mercy. If it's God's power working, that'll make you merciful. That'll make you merciful. Secondly, not only is God's way the way of mercy, God's way is the way of blessing. He says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us. Now, in a court of law in our land, if you go before a judge, most judges are not lenient. Most judges are concerned with the law, and that's all they're concerned with, and the facts, and they're going to deal justice. They're not in the lenient business. They're not in the mercy business. Now you imagine you stand there guilty before one of these judges and you owe $1 million. And you're guilty. There's no doubt you're guilty. And you've asked the judge for mercy. And the judge decided he'd give you mercy. Just gonna wipe this off the book. Now he's not upholding justice when he does that, but let's just say he, for illustration's sake, he wipes it off the book. You don't owe the $1 million anymore. Now imagine turning around and asking that same judge, would you put $1 million in my account? Now that you've shown me mercy and cleared my debt of $1 million, will you give me $1 million? Most of us, we wouldn't push it, would we? We'd say, well, he cleared $1 million, I'll get on out of here. But you can come to God, and God not only has shown us mercy and cleared our debt, He's blessed us with infinitely more than $1 million. Christ Jesus, by one offering, made us the righteousness of God in Him. He hath made Him sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I've been studying this book for 35 years. I can't even scratch the surface of what the righteousness of God is. I can't imagine. I'm like a fish swimming in water trying to tell you what it's like to be dry. I don't know. I can't tell you what righteousness is. But He's made us the righteousness of God. No sin, nothing. Just perfect perfection. Christ did it. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and in the Lord shall they glory. He said, no weapons formed against you, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Now listen to that. None. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. He not only blessed us by showing us mercy, or gave us mercy, He blessed us by making us perfectly righteous in Him. Amen. The only way we know about it. How do we know this? Go to Ephesians 2. The only way we know He did this is because of His mercy and this blessing of grace. Ephesians 2, verse 4. God, who's rich in mercy, even for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We're going to be learning about the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus for eternity. That's a lot of grace and kindness to learn about. Because there's a lot of it to learn about. Exceeding greatness. Exceeding greatness. Now, when He brings you to behold Christ and He brings you to see what Christ has done for you, God shines the light of His countenance upon us. It says there, verse 1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. God turned his face, his smile of approval, from Christ our substitute. And when God takes away the light of his countenance from you, everything is darkness.
Yep.
And bearing the frown of God's infinite justice, Christ Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he said, "Because you're holy. Because you're holy." But brethren, because he bore that frown, God calls you to himself, and he shines upon his child the light of his countenance, and that is the smiling approval and acceptance of God.
Amen.
And we'll never experience that frown. We'll never experience that darkness from his face being turned from it. He'll always shine the light of his countenance because he always accepts us in the Beloved. The psalmist said, people say, "Who will show us any kindness? Lord, shine the light of your countenance upon us." And then when he did it, the next verse says, "You've made me to rejoice more than the time when their corn and their wine increases." Doesn't this give you more rejoicing? You know, when there's somebody that you want their smile of approval, when they're frowning on you, that just tears your heart out. It hurts you. But when they smile with approval, that rejoices your heart. And when God smiles with approval and makes us know we're accepted and we have peace with God, that's better than anything this world can give you. Everything this world's rejoicing in, this is better. This is rejoicing, true joy. Why? Because when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more then, being reconciled, we shall be saved from wrath by His life. He won't let us go. And He did all of this to the praise of the glory of His grace. And He's made us accepted in the Beloved. See, the question's not, do you accept Jesus?
Yes.
The question is, does God accept you?
That's right. Amen.
And He only accepts His people in the Beloved.
Amen.
I pray God would shine that face of approval in the heart of somebody today and make them to know the warfare's over. You're accepted in the Beloved. Now, lastly, knowing all that, knowing that He has satisfied justice for us, look at this next thing, verse 4. The way of God is justice in the way He governs everything for His people. Verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And this is every reason to be glad and sing for joy right here. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. When you read about God judging the people righteously, He's speaking of His people. And on Calvary's cross, He judged us righteously. But when you look at that word judge, don't think that being a bad thing. Because what God is doing right now is He's judging for you and me in this earth righteously. And He's governing everything justly for His people. That's what He's doing. Go over to Ephesians 1 one more time. I want to show you this. Look who this is that's doing it. The Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down His life for us, is now risen to God's right hand and has all power over all things in the universe. Verse 20. This is what He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Christ is filling all in all. He's the one who's the head of the church. The church is his body. As Brother Norm said, if he doesn't call in every single one, his body wouldn't be complete. And he's going to continue sending the gospel forth and calling out his people until we reach the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. In other words, till his body's complete. To every last member has been called into the body, and the body is full. And so right now, the reason that this world's held in store, as Brother Norm read, by the power of his word, he's holding this word, this world in store. And that one who's doing this now, that is Christ Jesus, the God-man. When you read all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's talking about my sovereign Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
You see wicked things coming to pass in this world right now? Surely the wrath of man shall praise him, and the remainder thereof he won't let it happen. Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? He's in full control of everything that's taking place. And he's doing it righteously and justly. This has been some kind of year, hasn't it? Some are in the middle of some hard, perplexing trials that you just never thought you'd ever face. We have this pandemic. God's in control of pestilence.
That's right.
We have some brethren we love who've gone to be with the Lord. We would change that, but we miss them. Breaks your heart. The riots, the crooked politics, and we're fixing to go into another presidential race. Another season of that. But remember this in all of it. All is under the direct control of God our Savior.
Amen.
And he's ruling righteously and justly for his people in this earth. Let's don't murmur against God's providence. He's doing it justly. He's doing a much better job than we can comprehend. Mm-hmm. He's faithfully protecting us, and he's faithfully correcting us. And he's doing it right. We know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. So turn to 2 Samuel 16. And I do pray God to help us remember this. I fail at this, and I failed so many times at this. But I pray God would help us to remember this. We get in our flesh and we speak too soon. We don't give it time, we just pop off. We say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. Sooner or later, God's going to bring us down and make us be merciful. He'll remind us what Christ did for us. And I pray God will subdue our flesh and help us to deal with folks like this right here. If he permits the devil to roar upon you like we saw last night, and he uses some man to do it, look here at verse 5. Listen to this. Shimei came to David, and he came forth cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou art man of Belial. He's calling David a devil. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. The Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because you're a bloody man. It's all your fault, David. Then said Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take his head off. And that's usually our response right there. Now listen to David. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you son of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. The Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? I can't say, why are you cursing me? The Lord told him to curse me, David said. And David said to Baasha and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. The Lord sent him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me for good, requite me good for his cursing this day. I pray we could remember that. If a person comes against you and they're railing on you and they're pointing out every fault you got, rather than defending ourselves, and it takes God's grace to do this, it's not our first response is to take his head off. But when God gives you grace, hear what that person is saying as God speaking to you. Because he's using that. That's what David said. He's using Shimei to curse me and remind me of what I have done. Everything Shimei said was true. Hear that and be chastened by that. And know, this is God correcting me. And I tell you what God will do. He'll deal with us and correct us and remind us that he showed us mercy. And he'll make you be merciful. He'll remind you that he blessed you above and beyond, making you righteous. And he'll make you want to bless even your enemies. And he'll remind you that you're approved of God. He's accepted you. If I'm not accepted by somebody and somebody rails on me and somebody points out every fault I got and they separate themselves and they won't have anything to do with me, I don't want that to happen. But it hasn't changed the fact God accepted me. And if they came back, I would accept them. God's accepted me. And we can be this way because in everything that's happening in our lives, every second of every day, God, our Savior, is ruling everything justly, just for you, believer. Just for you. And that means, I'm persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. I thank you so much. I thank you for your hospitality, for your graciousness, your food, your fellowship, everything. Thank you for the messages, Brother Norm. Brother John, it's been a delight. I look forward to doing it again soon. So, God be with you.